Have you ever been in a place where you really, when you realize that you do not have what it takes to make it through this situation? Have you? You see, if you've never been to that place, it's coming. If you have been to that place, it was painful, right? But while it might have been full of pain, it also had the most potential to be full of God's grace. I came across this quote in a book by Kyle Idleman, and it says this: because we are able to receive God's grace only to the extent that we are able to recognize our need for it. We are able to receive God's grace only to the extent that we are able to recognize our need for that. You see, we live in a culture that celebrates strength and power, and it looks at weakness as inferior. But we're going to read today and understand that it's grace that enables us to celebrate our weakness. The more we are able to acknowledge our weakness and our shortcomings, the greater our opportunity to experience God's power in our lives. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians is written by Paul, and he learned not only to acknowledge his weakness, but he learned to celebrate his weakness, and we'll read that verse this morning. Paul wrote a total of two letters to Corinth. Corinth was the city that was known for its incredible strength, and it boasted as being a strong city, not only in the way that their architecture went to their culture, but at that time there were some false teachers who had snuck into the church, and they were basically, instead of promoting God, they were promoting themselves. And these false teachers, they were basically holding up their religious resumes, and they bragged about their spiritual experiences, and they wanted people to follow them. But Paul wanted to, in his letter to 2 Corinthians, he wanted the Corinthians to celebrate their weakness. So he begins talking about his own strengths and contrasted. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, this is Paul's retort to saying, okay, you think that you're powerful? You think that you've got a resume? Let me show you some things that I've done. Verse 21 of chapter number 11, it says, about halfway through that verse, it says, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Whatever they're bragging on, I got a little bit more coming from my corner. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? Well, so am I. Are they Israelites? Well, so am I. Are they actually Abraham's descendants? Well, so am I. Are they servants of Christ? And as he's beginning to compare about who they are and who he is, and he's talking big stuff about what he's able to do, he says this little phrase. He says, I am out of my mind to talk like this. Because he was, at this point, expressing who he was and what he had done. He says, I am more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. And I have been exposed to death again and again. What he's saying is, if there's anybody here that has the ability to put their confidence in what they've done for God, Paul says this, it should be me, well beyond what they are. But look at verse number 7. Of chapter number 12. Turn over one chapter. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Paul simply says this: therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, feeling like I'm strong, like I got it all together, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, I'm sure you've probably heard thorn in the flesh. Matter of fact, it's kind of a colloquialism. People use that phrase all the time. That person's a thorn in my flesh. And this is where it comes from in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And we'll discuss possibly what Paul's thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly. He does not state it. But I'm wondering if he keeps it vague because he doesn't explain what the thorn in the flesh is. I wonder if he keeps it so vague so that the person reading this can fill in the blank with maybe something that would be your thorn. Something that would be your thorn in the flesh. What is your thorn this morning? What have you begged God to change in your life? What have you begged God to possibly heal? What have you begged God to take away? What in your life forces you to acknowledge weakness? If you had this phrase up here on the screen, it says, my weakness is blank. What would you fill that in? What would be the area in your life that you feel like you struggle with, that you don't have control? Maybe it has control of you. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's just something that's out of your hand. What would be considered your weakness? Now, as we continue speaking today, the intent of my message is not that we learn that grace is greater than our weaknesses, because we could say that. But I want us to begin to experience God's grace by receiving his power through our weaknesses. Maybe Paul, when he sees this line, my weakness is blank, maybe he could have written in this, my weakness is my infirmities. My infirmities. You see, the Bible hints that Paul may not have been the best looking guy. Other verses indicate he might have had terrible vision. If it was a physical infirmity Paul was referring to, he had already discovered that God's grace was greater. I'm wondering if maybe you were here this morning and you had a physical infirmity that you've asked and begged God to take away, but he hasn't. One thing I've realized, that when there's something in our life physically, an infirmity, we have no choice but to lean on God, that God says, I got you. You must lean upon me. I've been in hospital rooms and surgery centers where people have prayed, God, if anything's going to change, we need you to come through here. And at that point, you realize that, guess what? There's a physical infirmity that you can't get past. I have friends who are diabetics. I've had friends who have gone through cancer. I've had friends, my dad last weekend, he's supposed to be preaching next weekend. My dad last weekend was in the hospital because he had a kidney stone. And my dad says to me, I am not doing that again. But when you're going through that, and my dad was in an incredible amount of pain, you're thinking, I want this thorn in the flesh. I need it to be gone. I don't want this right now. I can't get past it on my own. Maybe Paul could have written in that blank something else. Maybe he could have written, my weaknesses, my inabilities. You see, several times Paul mentions throughout his letters that he was not an eloquent or persuasive speaker. He wished that he would have been more persuasive. But somehow throughout the New Testament, we read about a lot about Paul. We see that God's grace allowed him to be one of the primary spokespeople of Christianity. Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament. Why? Because when we are weak, God is strong. My inabilities. You know, I think one of the biggest challenges, and I'm going to be try to be transparent here, one of the biggest challenges I have is I feel like sometimes my inabilities hold myself back and hold our church back. Every Sunday, I get to stand up before you and speak. And I wish that speaking was just something that came natural to me, that I just absolutely absorbed it. But the amount of hours that I have to spend to try to prepare to give you something that would be palatable, something that would be hopefully helpful in your walk with God. In this audience, I've got everything from 7-year-olds to 70-year-olds, and I have to give something that would keep attention and keep you awake, which is not really my intention. But I want the gospel to be so clear that a 7-year-old and a 70-year-old would hear it. So to craft my words and study and put those things back, there are times when in the middle of the week I just labor and I say, God, I can't do this. Why am I struggling? Why is this so hard? You know, I've learned the only way that I can have what it takes when it comes into speaking is that I have to lean into God, and my strength comes from him. To this day, I'm still amazed when I will speak on grace that somebody will come up and say, Pastor, thank you so much for that message. God is working in our lives through our marriage in a completely different area. I didn't speak on marriage this morning. No, that's, we're going to find out, that's the power that comes through his message because of grace. So what inability torments you? What are your inabilities? Maybe it's the inabilities you have as being a good husband or a good wife. Maybe it's the inability you have of being a good father or mother. Maybe because of your infirmities, your inability to provide for your family is questionable right now. See, I believe that when we give our weaknesses, and we'll talk specifically about that, that God's power shines through his weakness, that all of a sudden we can see God's power shine through our lives and do things we never could. Maybe Paul could have written in this blank, My weakness is my inadequacies. See, Paul continually finds himself in situations that seem way beyond him, where he says, I don't think I can take care of this. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 8 and 9, he says this, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. He was humbly admitting that this was something more than what he could handle. It was out of his class. He could not do it. So why would God put Paul, a believer and the leader of Christianity, in a situation where he couldn't handle it? That it was way over his head. Look at verse number 9. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, God's power is attracted to weakness. His grace runs to those in need. So whatever the thorn of the flesh is, Paul's saying, get rid of it. I can't do it. Take it away. Let's look at verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read verses 8 through 10 one more time if you can get there. I'm reading this particular version from the NLT. It'll probably be NIV on the screen, but I want you to listen to the difference in the words. In verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians, says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Verse 9, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Maybe your version says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is going to be exactly what you need, is what he tells Paul. Paul said, hey, please, 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 you see what I'm doing for you through the work of Christianity and telling people about the gospel? If you could just remove this from me, man, just think what I could do. And God does not say, well, you know what, you got a point there. He says, no, no, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. See, Paul was asking God to make it go away. This is Paul. Paul. Come on, God, you've seen what I've done for you. Help a brother out. What do you say? Make it go away. Make this easier for me. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. You see, sometimes God says, my grace is going to be all you need. Why? Because the power I'm going to give you, it's because of your weakness. So we see God's grace and power, and as God chooses to heal or cure or remove our weakness, we say, wow, that was God's power. And most of us have a God's power testimony. Boy, you would not believe what happened. I prayed for God's power, and bam, look what happened. The day that I went to the hospital and we were talking with Brandon, and they said, when he wakes up, if he has a headache or is in pain, after this medication we've given him, we are going to have to schedule him for surgery. I left that chapel and tried to gain my composure. Got myself a Diet Coke because Mark Jones' Diet Coke fixes everything. Am I right, brother, sometimes? Diet Coke, and I'm walking down the hall. I'm trying to be strong, and I'm trying to think, I'm going to walk around the corner, and I'm going to see my wife, and I'm not strong enough for her. I just bawled like a little baby, and I walked around the corner, and I walked into the room. Doctor was there. Nurse was administering to Renee, was in bed with Brandon, and he began to wake up and kind of stir a little bit. So he wakes up, and the first word out of his mouth was, Mommy, my head doesn't hurt anymore. You see, I felt an incredible amount of dose of grace that day from God because I saw his power work. I saw his power work.
that incident was one of the main changes in my Christian life. I prayed, God, please forgive me for trying to be in control. I know that he's been yours ever since he was born. You've entrusted me to love him, to raise him, but he belongs to you. But I saw God's power work that day. Sure enough, about a week later, that little twerp was out of the hospital. He's back in the backyard of our house, and he's climbing on a playset that's about 12 feet off the ground and jumping. He was oblivious to what he had been through. But I saw God's power. I experienced God's grace. If we had time this morning, we probably could share similar testimonies where you lifted up a prayer request to God and say, God, if this is going to happen, we need you to take this away. We need you to heal this. We need you to be big. And all of a sudden, God goes, watch this. Bam! And you go, wow! But you do realize that God's grace is still working when he chooses not to answer in the way that we think he should or could. See, God doesn't always choose to remove or heal or take away the hurt, the pain, the sickness, the weakness. We desire for God's power to be seen so that others can believe. We desire for God's power to be seen so others can believe. When I tell you that story about my son, it does not say, oh, Brian's an awesome dad. It does not say that, does it? Instead, it says, our God is an awesome God. So when we desire God's power to be seen, it's not so that we can make ourselves look good, feel good. We want to point people to who God is. That is incredible. But as we desire for God's power to be seen so others can believe, sometimes God instead does this. He wants his grace and power not to be seen. He wants it just to be felt by you. In verse number 10, he says, Paul says this, that's why, and catch these words, I take pleasure. He doesn't say, that's why I can endure. He says, I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am strong. See, this is why God's grace is amazing grace. How sweet this sounds. Why? Because at that point, it's because you are weak that you have the ability to see the power of God through that situation. You know, we've talked before, people say, you know what, Pastor, I'm in a situation right now where I'm having to rely on God, and I don't know where my next check's going to come from. I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. I don't know how this relationship's going to be poured. Do you know why? Because at that moment, you realize, guess what? Just like I did, I can't do it. If this is going to be done, it's going to have to be by God's provision. And then when God provides, oh my goodness. I can't believe it happened. I still, to this day, whenever I pray for a prayer request for God to move in a certain way, and he does, I still praise him almost as if I'm shocked he really did. Are you familiar with that? Have you done that? God, we really want this house, and we need our house to sell for this. Bam! Can you believe that? You know? It's called faith. Do you remember? But when you're able to see God's power hit. But this is what I know about the situation we're talking about this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a weakness that's just part of your life. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a lack of self-discipline. Maybe it could be an ailment. Maybe there's sickness or there's hurt or there's pain. And right now you're in that moment where you're thinking, okay, God, okay. Okay, any time now, let me see your power. Come on, bring it. Sometimes God will, but then there's other times when God's grace is sufficient. You see, God never delivered Paul from this thorn in the flesh. He never said, okay, now wait a second, ready? Ready? Okay, here we go. Bam. He didn't do that. And he says, no. Your weakness is where the power of God shines.
Not only so others can see you, but that you can feel that. You see, as I gave this illustration to Brandon in that day that it rocked my world, I can give you situation after situation where I've prayed, God, this is an infirmity. I give it to you. This is an inability. This is an inadequacy. And God says to me, Brian, my grace is sufficient for you, because in your weakness is when my power comes through. I have no doubt there's people here right now that are praying for things and you're wanting to experience God's grace, but it's like you're talking and can't hear anybody listening. God, please. Psst, God, come on. God, I've got this situation in my life. Nobody in this room knows about it, but I'm tired of battling it. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what God's grace is about. So what is God's grace greater? Is it greater than my weaknesses? God's grace is greater than the power that is able to conquer my weaknesses. It's incredible. But most of us just carry the situation. You know why I think sometimes it is? On my right foot, about a year and a half ago, I say I play racquetball, but I haven't played in a couple of weeks now because of I'm almost 55. But my right foot, I had this pain in my right foot, and I couldn't run on it. It was awful. So, God, you know, please, Lord, it's just a heel. If you could just figure out what's going on so I get back to playing racquetball. And it wasn't like a severe illness or anything. It was just a nagging pain. God, please help me with this nagging pain. So I'm praying. So part of it was the doctor says, you just need to stay off of it for a little bit. Okay. And if you're my age or older, maybe even younger, if you've ever had any problem with your sciatic nerve, you know, sciatic nerve, that used to sound like my old grandpa when he used to complain about a sciatic nerve. Now, sciatic nerve hits us, well, I'm not young, but it hits guys in their 50s easy. So I'm complaining about this. And if you've ever had it, it's just literally, it's a pain in the butt. You know, it's just, and it's kind of, you can't get any relief. And so then slowly, it began to get a little better. And then one day, Renee says to me, hey, how's that feeling? How's what feeling? You know, that pain you were having. You know what? I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not wearing this insert in my shoe, and it still feels pretty good. Wow. You know, come to think of it, I prayed that God would take care of it. Kind of forgot it. He did. I never said thank you. I think sometimes the perspective is simply this. The reason maybe he doesn't take it from us as quickly as possible, because sometimes we just take it for granted it's going to happen. Ah, God, I'm not going to praise you because, you know, I feel good. How many of you have ever been sick? Raise your hand. Come on. Did you pray that God would help you feel better? Have you? Then why do we not, in the life that we live, as God provides and makes his power shown, why do we not thank him for when we're feeling good? Hey, woke up this morning feeling pretty good. Watch this. It feels pretty good, doesn't it? Why do we not do that? Why? Because I think sometimes we want God's grace in our life and we want to see his power, but we're wanting him to remove the persecution, remove the illness. But God doesn't work that way. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Maybe this morning you're here and you're really struggling with things going on in your life. They might be outside pressures. They might be pressures that you put upon yourself. And you're praying for God's grace and you're praying for God's deliverance and you're praying, God, take it away, heal it, mend it, please. God's answer to you is going to be just like it is to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because it's during the weaknesses when the power kicks in. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning.